told you what you did wrong.
What? What are you wrong?
Just calm down a second.
So what? Many kids had a film of a bad drink for it. I got caught and I'm getting it for it. Yes. I'm getting A for it.
You're not getting anything.
You suppose you're right?
This is police headquarters.
Irish. Period. All Irish.
At the booking desk?
I'm all Irish.
Young boy, 16, 17 years old. Officer's having a difficult time to restrain him.
I'm not going in a cell. I don't want to go in a cell. Hey, I want to talk to you, please.
I'm
going to hear you. Come on,
Berg, can you hear me?
Yeah.
What's the matter with him?
Juno officer's picked him up. He's been blasting marijuana.
No, he's trying to even talk to him now. Oh, brother, he's really blowing his top. Now, that stuff really makes him crazy.
Come on in the bureau, Don. I've got a quick report to make, and then we'll get out in the field.
Okay, right behind you. This is Don Reed, a police recorder. Tonight, you're going with Detective Unit 5-6 on the tour of the night watch. The crew, Sergeant Ron Perkins and his partner, Officer Arch Cameron. And while you're with us tonight, remember that boy in the other room. The people you meet, they're not actors.
I'm going to make a report for us, and then we'll take off.
This is it. This is real. This is night watch.
Sergeant Perkins.
Sergeant, are you busy?
No, what do you got?
We've got a woman out here. She said her baby's been stolen.
Oh? Well, bring her right in.
Right.
Don, you better stick around. Might have a kidnapping.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. We switch you now back to police headquarters and to police recorder Don Reed.
Coming in the office, the woman who claims somebody has stolen her baby.
Detective Ross, policewoman Kingston.
Can you tell us now just what happened, what the circumstances are?
Well, he came by. He asked me my baby.
Who is he?
Just a friend of ours. I've known him quite a while.
All right, and what happened?
Okay, he asked us would we go and go with him to take some people to Santa Monica to the beach. And I told him yes, just me and my baby.
How old is your baby?
My baby's 1 year and 6 months old.
All right.
Today. So, coming on back, he said, you come in a way. You didn't have to come. I said, well, you can put me out right here. He said, if you keep talking to me, I will put you out here. Well, just put me out. So, he before he got there, he hit me. And cursed, you know, and he cursed, and he hit me. My baby was asleep, laying on my lap. So, I said, well, just let me out. And he stopped the car. He didn't stop it. He just stopped and told me, what are you going to do to me? And I got out. Baby was just crying in a tough voice. He ran back and got in the car and drove on off.
With the baby?
Yeah, and the baby was crying.
Baby's in the car.
He's crying.
Where's your husband, ma'am?
My husband?
Yes.
I don't have a husband.
You divorced or?
No, we're not divorced. We separated in 1947, 46.
All right, would you give us a description of the baby, please? How old is the baby? A year and a half?
The baby's a year and 6 months old.
And is boy or girl?
And he's a boy.
And where does this man live?
Well, I just really tell you, I don't know where he lives, here, there, and everywhere. I don't know where he lives.
What kind of a car does he have?
Liz, I said it was a 51 Buick, but his 52 or 53 Buick.
52 or 53
That's
Buick?
That's right.
Is it a sedan, a coupe, or what?
I tell you, it's a sedan, but it's not a four-door.
It's a two-door sedan.
That's right.
What color is it?
It's blue.
A light or dark?
Well, I would say it's not too dark and it's not too light.
Kind of a medium shade of blue.
That's right.
And it's all one color, not two tones.
That's no.
Now, how old a man is this man?
This man is about 50 years old, 51 or 52 years old, but he goes for 43. Last time he got arrested, they told me in Boyle Heights that he was 43.
He has been arrested before.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Do you have any idea where he might go with the baby now?
No, I don't.
When you got out of the car, the baby was still in the car.
Sure, he's still in and crying.
What's his mental condition? Is he mentally all right? Does he have... In other words, is he normal up here?
Well, he's supposed to be, but he drinks heavy.
He drinks. Was he drinking today?
Yeah. What are you going to do with my baby? I don't know.
Do you believe that it might be just a mistake that he forgot that the baby was there in the car?
How could he forget when the baby was hollering?
That's a good question.
He didn't forget. What I want to know, did he go out of his head and do something to that baby to stop him from hollering?
He is normal, mentally.
He's a nervous type.
Jimmy, you want to take her out to the car? We'll be out in a minute.
What do you make of this deal?
I don't know, Don. She's not reacting like a mother should that's lost her baby.
No.
Of course, it might be because she's been drinking.
Oh, he's been drinking pretty good, too, hasn't he?
Yeah, that makes me think the baby's in real danger. Of course, he's got a police record. Let's check R&I and see if we can get his last known address. R&I, please.
Well, somewhere in the back of a car we have a baby that's missing. It may be well taken care of, and it may not. Regardless, we have to find him. Well, it's getting pretty close to dawn of a new day right now. So far, in looking for the suspect with the baby, we've had considerable luck, although it's been bad. It seems he's never living or staying anywhere over a night or two. Consequently, we got his last known address from the Record Bureau and have trailed him from rooming house to motel, back to rooming house. So far, it seems we've covered about half the distance of Los Angeles County. However, at the last place, we did pick up the suspect's mother's address, and we're en route to that location right now. The mother of the child has been riding in the back seat with us all night. Should be within a few houses. It's pitch dark, no street lights. Flashlights on the curb numbers. Yeah, this is it. Here we are. Should be where the mother of the suspect lives. Let's see what we can find out.
Can you tell us where your son lives?
No, I sure don't know.
You have any idea?
No, I don't.
Well, it's very important we get in touch with him. Do you know how we can reach him?
I don't know. I don't even know why he's saying no phone number or nothing.
How about your daughter? Would she know?
I don't know.
Do you know anybody at all that we can get in touch with to reach him?
I don't know. To tell you, I don't know.
Uh-huh. Mm. Okay, ma'am. Thank you. If you should locate him, would you tell him to get in touch with the Culver City police right away?
Oh, if I get in touch with him?
Yes, if you have to run across him.
Well, if I run across him, I don't think I'm going to run across him.
Well, if you do, will you tell him that, please?
Well, we didn't gain too much information. Another lead or two. We'll keep right on hammering them out. Heading back to our car. We'll keep right on checking out more addresses. It's getting very late now. Out toward the east. Almost the first light of dawn. Mother of the baby waiting in the back seat. Anxious to see if we have any news. Well, listen. You just sit back and relax.
Yeah, I do the best I can. My baby's never been away from me 15 minutes. Just out like this since he's been in the world.
Oh, we'll find him.
Control 1 to 5-6. Can you read Control 1?
5-6, Roger. Go ahead.
5-6. R&I reports they have located the address of the sister of the suspect at 2432 Northeastern Avenue. That's 2432 Northeastern Avenue in East Los Angeles. You want to check this out?
Roger. You might advise the watch commander. We haven't come up with anything yet. We'll check out the sister's house right now.
We've swung clear over to East Los Angeles now. We made good time. Nobody but a couple of milkmen on the streets this time of the morning. Just located the house where the sister of the suspect lives. Turning around now to park out in front.
Arch, you want to cover the rear?
Our partner, Arch Cameron, going around to cover the rear. Sergeant Perkins, mother of the youngster. Three of us going up the front door. Somebody in.
Hello, police officers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know where your brother is?
No, I don't.
Do you have any idea?
No.
Where is he living?
I don't know where he lives.
And we have a kidnapping. We want to know where your brother is.
I don't know about it.
If we find anybody's withholding information, they're going to jail.
Well, I guess you're right.
Where do you think the baby is?
If I knew where the baby, I'd tell you, because I'm tired of this mess.
I'm tired, too.
She knows she got so much confidence in him, she knows there ain't no harm. He just doing it.
I ain't got no confidence. He never taking my baby away. Baby, I ain't got no confidence in him.
Yes, you have to.
Well, no, I
get
didn't.
In there, you're going to score on how to get him out like you did before.
Get him out of, like I did before, when?
Yeah.
I never got that man out of nothing.
Yes, you have. When he stabbed you, you wouldn't got him out.
When he stabbed me?
You wouldn't press no charge against him.
He never stabbed me.
Well, you
find it
out.
No, he's never stabbed me, and
then
he's
me
lying.
Well,
I'm not
going
to lie about nothing.
You had to put him in jail for something. You got him out of it.
I ain't got him out of anything. He got drunk the last time he was
there. Well, but I'm talking about the baby, but I don't know where the baby is.
That's right. And I don't trust my baby.
But you was in the car with him?
Yes, I was in the car with him, but why I get out the car?
Look. Time is wasting.
You know what, Emma, his wife, that's what I believe my baby.
Oh, your baby.
Where's his wife?
I don't know where she is.
You
she knows,
sure.
She's just not telling you. She knows where she lives.
Let me explain something to you. Just, I want so we understand each other.
Did I know that if I withhold anything, I'm just as guilty as he is.
I wish
you
had before. I got no place very fast there.
You want to get the
back seat? Sergeant Perkins, putting the mother of the missing boy in the car. You know, just between you and I and the gatepost, if that guy is going to, even if he doesn't harm the child, if he happened to be really drunk, locks that kid in the car.
What I'm afraid of.
Well, the window's sealed.
Baby will be all right till it starts getting hot.
Yeah.
It's going to start getting light very shortly.
Well?
Where's my partner?
He's still staked down the back. Oh, boy, we're not any farther known when we started. Are we?
Yeah, we've talked to a lot of people. Well, we might as well take the mother home. Maybe something will turn up in the meantime.
Yeah, let's hope so.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of a detective unit on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. Now, right now is the time to sit down and write that letter to that serviceman you know. Letters from home and friends to servicemen are important, vitally important as a morale factor to the men overseas. This is particularly true in isolated installations where the arrival of mail is one of the very few daily diversions. While we are providing American servicemen overseas with the finest weapons and equipment in the world, the spirit of each man is based on his morale, and his morale is based in large on the letters he gets from home. Let us never give the men in our armed forces the impression they are being forgotten, that we're too busy to sit down for 5 or 10 minutes and write. Don't just write a letter to a serviceman. Write to the one you know personally. That letter will really mean something, because it'll be a tie with the folks back home. So write a letter to a relative or friend overseas in the armed forces. Think of him, and put some of those warm thoughts down on paper. He'll appreciate it, and you'll feel better for having written. And now we switch you to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and your police recorder, Don Reed.
Getting the mother of the missing baby back to her apartment. It's a housing project. No elevators. This makes the 10th time since we started this case we had to climb to the 3rd or 4th floor.
According to my count, it's 11th.
Yeah, could be. Well, it's broad daylight now. We can put the flashlights away.
Get some rest.
How are you going to know? Will they call you if you bring them or if you get in?
Well, we've got a broadcast all over the county of Los Angeles. All the police cars, all the departments. We get back, the day crew will take over and work until we come back on again tonight. So you just try to get some sleep. Okay?
I do the best I can, but you don't believe you did anything to the baby, huh?
No, I don't think so.
Why? He wouldn't want to do that. Why would he want to do it? Hurt the baby?
I don't think he's hurt the baby. I don't think you have to worry about that. Look, you've been up all night. You go and get some sleep. We'll take care of it. We'll find the child.
And bring the baby to me, Uncle. Let me know where to get him.
We'll let you know just as soon as we find him. Okay?
Okay, I'll do the best I can.
Goodbye.
Well, at least it's downhill going back.
I wish I could believe what I told that woman. Must be an answer to it somewhere. It beats me what it is.
Yeah. How about a cup of coffee?
Maybe that'll give us an idea.
Six, go ahead.
They can read us this far away.
Unit calling. You're breaking up. Is this unit 5-6? Repeat.
Roger. Go ahead.
5-6. We have been trying to reach you. Your suspect wanted for possible child kidnap has been picked up by LAPD and is now in custody at the Hollenbeck station. Sergeant War is en route and requests you meet him there.
5-6, is the baby in custody also?
5-6, we do not have that information at present.
5-6, Roger.
Now we're making some progress. How about the mother? Should we tell her?
Well, right now we don't know what to tell her. It's
get over to L.A. and check this thing out.
Into the Los Angeles police station. There's high ceilings. The voice sort of booms, like talking in a tunnel. An office here on the right. Little boy sitting on the desk, custody of a matron. No doubt that's the little fellow we've been looking for.
First, we're not suspecting anybody.
Yeah.
Sergeant Ward and Detective Walter leaning on the desk talking to the suspect. He's elderly, gray-haired. A kind expression on his face that matches. Just one thought. This is the suspect we've been looking for all night.
Quit. And, she was drinking before we left. She bought more drinks. All right, so she started an argument with me and she started cussing in the car on the way back home now. On Slauson. She started cussing me out. She said she saw up and started scratching me. Wanting to start scratching and the baby right in the middle. And so I pull over to the side. So she threatened to jump out of the car before I even stopped the car. And I pull over to the side. And when I pull over to the side to stop the car, while she was fighting me, and she got out of the car and started going to some people's residence to use a phone. You see? For what reason, I don't know. She's just drunk. She's crazy when she's drunk. So I went on back and got this baby and them brought him down here to the police station here. You see, the reason I didn't want to take him to the police station last night was this. I knew she was drunk. And the minute they find her in the condition she was in, see, they're going to take that baby away from her. See, I know that. In fact, the baby should be taken away from her. That's the truth. I'll tell you what you do. If I'm lying, I hope God may paralyze me. You can go to take me to her house right now. She didn't have nothing to eat. I got fish there for her, chickens for her in her icebox, and bought bread and gave her money. And I got a pocketbook out there. She didn't have no money, and I gave her a dollar, and the dollar's still in the pocketbook. But the woman is absolutely insane when she gets drinking. She's the best woman in the world when she's not drinking. I pushed her away from me when she went out of time to stop the car. And I noticed that when I pushed her, you know, she's treacherous, very treacherous when she gets to drinking. She gets drunk, you understand? I got a witness why she have thrown that baby on the floor and people will testify to that where the baby, they were so afraid the baby she's going to kill that baby, they want to turn her up herself.
Did you have any intentions of keeping the baby away from
her? No, it's not my baby. No, I should say not.
Did you make any attempt to contact the Culver City Police Department?
I sure didn't, because I didn't even know what location I was in.
Kurt,
see outside a minute.
Okay. I don't think that we've got anything on this fellow to book him on. There's no intent and apparently no motive on it. I think that probably accounts for the strange reaction the mother's had several times.
I'm with you, Bert.
Well, look, let's take the child back to its mother and take this fellow with us and let him explain it to her.
Good deal.
Moving into the housing project, to the home of the mother of this missing child. In the back, our gray-haired suspect with a youngster on his lap. The mother spotted us coming down the stairs. Kids playing baseball out here in the yard.
Well, there's a little fellow.
Thanks to the Lord. I'm just about to go crazy. You could have brought my baby by here.
I did. He wasn't home. Came out 6 o'clock this morning, came out last night twice.
6 o'clock this morning?
And then I came last night twice. You wasn't here, so then I went on back and I slept in the car last night. You see?
Yes, sir.
Then this morning I woke up and came there 6 o'clock and, the door was open, but you wasn't there.
Well, you got the baby back now, and you're happy.
Yes, I am.
Okay, then.
Well.
Thank you so much.
I guess that takes care of that. He's quite a boy.
Yeah, he's a sweet baby.
He's quite a boy.
I've never been away from my baby that long.
Well, Colin, she doesn't want to prefer any charges against you. Come on, we'll run you home.
What you have just heard is real, recorded as it actually happened on The Night Watch. And now back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
Tonight's investigation of the missing child is a small sample of the man hours of police work that seldom come to the attention of the general public. Potentially, a crime had been committed, but after an all-night investigation, it turned out to be a series of mistakes and bad judgment on the part of the suspects. Nevertheless, the officers had to press the search. Anything could have happened. Although no formal arrests were made, the Juvenile Bureau conducted a thorough investigation of the home conditions of the mother and the child. When a scriptwriter creates a plot, he is well aware of the ending. But the events on Night Watch are recorded as they happen. As you heard, when the morning hour came on, with no sign of the missing child, a natural anxiety began to build up among the officers. This is my point. There is no way of predicting in advance the outcome of a real police investigation. To help you understand this and the part you play in making your local police department an effective organization is the reason for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Headlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and is described in the field by police recorder Don Reed.